Welcome to our bonus episode of Tales from the Pictures We Saved. In this episode, we were able to interview New York City-based professional organizer Andrew Mellon and ask him his advice on the common issues everyone faces when it comes to organizing photos. Andrew's prowess in the organization field has landed him on NPR, Real Simple, Oprah, Martha Stewart, and many more high-profile media channels. He's a larger-than-life organizational expert, speaker, and best-selling author of the book, Unstuff Your Life. And he's on a mission to help everyone he meets get back in touch with their core values. That's something that we know resonates with our Scan My Photos customers, so we're very excited to have had the chance to sit down with Andrew and ask him all of our burning questions. I'm your host, Janine Lucas.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for joining the podcast. How are you?
I am all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So we've got quite a few questions to ask, but the major topic I wanted to talk to you about today is about how to organize sentimental items, particularly photos. So what advice would you give to our customers about these boxes and boxes of photos that they have, like with all of this irreplaceable sentimental value? How would you suggest our customers go about organizing them or letting them go?
Yeah, well, I would encourage anyone to organize them before letting them go as opposed to just letting them go. What I would suggest is to decide on a sorting system, whether it's going to be by people in the photos or it's going to be by destination or location in the photos or it's going to be by event. And pick one of them and stick with it. I don't know that there's any better of the three options. So I wouldn't say always use the calendar or always use the events or always use the people in the photos. It depends on how you as the end user like to interact with your photos. Yeah. Then the idea is to just group like with like. So if you're doing it by people, then all the photos with the same people in it will all be grouped together, whether it's from 12 years ago or last week. That will be what helps you to create some sense of order. And then I covered this rather extensively in my book. There is an entire chapter dedicated to photographs. And I think even on my website, there's a 4-page reduction of photo do's and don'ts around sorting and storing them. But I would say that once you've sorted them, then you start to decide what stays and what goes. The beginning of the process is just about putting like with like. And when people try to organize their photographs, they get swept up in sentimental reminiscence, and that will derail the organizing process because you'll either get wistful or you'll get sad. In some way, you'll be stimulated and be more engaged in your feelings than the task at hand.
Yeah. And so what would help that is just having a plan going in?
Well, what would help it is remembering that all you're doing is sorting. So it's just a game of like with like. That's all you're trying to do. You're not trying to determine which ones you're going to keep or you're going to let go of. Once you've sorted them into their like with like piles, then you can start to make decisions. Now, the one exception being, as you're sorting, if the photo is blurry, if the photo has somebody's head cut off in it, if those kinds of photographic errors can just be let go of immediately. So then at least you're left with photos that are potentially quality photos, and then you can curate from there. Then you would start to make choices of, okay, so I have 190 photos of me and my grandmother. These 30 are really the best photos in which we're both laughing or we're both smiling. It's a tender moment between the two of us. We both look good. These are the ones that I want to keep to remember grandma by. You don't have to keep every photo.
So after you've gone through and picked your organization method and decided which photos you're going to keep and which ones you're going to get rid of, what would be the next step in the process?
I would encourage them to digitize them because we are moving further and further away from an analog reality. And if you, regardless of how old you are, if you're not a digital native, but you have children or grandchildren that are digital natives, Most kids won't enjoy looking through photo albums. They want to be able to flip through them on a phone or a device of some kind where the photos are portable and accessible, and the volume is no longer, because photos in a digital medium take up relatively little space, they all take up the same amount of space. They take up a quantity of hard drive space, but they don't take up any more physical space. One photo or a million photos takes up the same basic footprint. So then now they can interact with them anytime they want instead of having to go through photo albums and try to find, okay, this is the photo album we made from 2000, this is the photo album we made from 1994. My experience in the field is that few younger people want to move at that pace. So you're building something, if you're spending more time building photo albums thinking that this is something that your kids or your grandkids want, I'm going to tell you that unless they've told you explicitly that they do want them, chances are they don't want them. They do want the images. They don't want to be burdened with the stuff. And when you think about it, again, if kids are living a more portable life, we're much more transient these days than we have ever been in society. Who wants to drag around 40 photo albums when you can drag around one external hard drive with 40 gigs of information? So I think that if you want to build photo albums for yourself, then by all means do. But if you have a story that says I'm doing it for posterity and for my kids and my grandkids, you're probably fibbing to yourself that it really matters to them.
You know, that brings up a good point. A lot of our customers will say the intention of scanning their photos in the first place is so that they could get rid of all the boxes of photos, and it's just like this mess that's taking up space in their home. However, after they scan the photos in, they say that they've kept the prints, like they still are having trouble letting that go.
Right.
So I was wondering if you had any advice for that.
A deep breath, perhaps some sort of lighthearted ceremony in which you bid farewell to the photos. I would encourage you probably not to do it alone, because if you are wobbly or vacillating around, you know, should I, shouldn't I, what if, I feel like I'm throwing people away, and, you know, any of that stuff that comes up for you, if you are not alone in the vacuum of your own thinking and you have somebody next to you who can support you in saying, the whole intention was also to lighten your own load, and nobody really wants these photos, it's okay to let them go. If you can't muster that up in yourself, it's nice to be able to have somebody sitting next to you who can put their arm around you and say, this is what you always planned to do, so let's complete the task. And understand that when you leave, whoever you are, when you leave, everything that you left behind that you thought you were holding on to for a reason, somebody else is going to make a decision about what's going to happen to it, and it might not be what you had decided. So I think it's much better to be actively involved in that rather than leaving it up to, quote, posterity.
So true. That's a really great point. Okay, so I just had one more question about organizing digital photos, because usually that can kind of turn into a wasteland really quickly.
Right.
There's so many different channels and, you know, devices that we have all of these photos stored on, and then incorporating scanned photos, so the ones that have moved from analog to digital, into that mix. Like, do you have any tips for people to organize their digital files so that they're not just chaotic and all over the place?
Well, I would organize digital files the same way I organize analog files, which is, again, decide whether you want to sort by person, location, or by date. Whatever the system is that you pick, then you will create subfolders inside that Uber folder, which is photos. Then it will be family photos, and whether that's immediate family, extended family, however you are likely to go looking for something, there are no hard and fast rules about filing systems. I think a few fundamentals are use the alphabet. There's nothing wrong with the alphabet. We all know it. And you'll be able to find anything that is named Annette or Andrew or Ashley. It keeps things simple. I think what happens is we're not really taught how to file, so people do the best that they can to create filing systems for themselves, but they're just making it up as they go along. And I understand the the sense of being overwhelmed by the task at hand, but I think simpler is better than more complex. You want to be able to find what you're looking for simply and easily. I think utilizing tags is a great way to additionally sort each photo so that even if they are based on location, like these are all the Grand Canyon trips, these are all the Disneyland trips, within that, you can still use tags to say, these are all the beach trips and the people there, everybody gets a tag. And then you can further sort, I want all the photos of the beach and have Andrew in them. And boom, there they all are.
So I was going around on your website and I saw that you have a course for photos and organization. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We take people through the process of gathering all their photos, sorting them, and then starting to make decisions about what they're going to keep and what they're going to let go of so that they can take that huge box of photos that's under the bed or in the hallway or in the basement or the attic and start to make sense out of it and digitize it. And whether their end goal is to let go of them or not, at least now they're no longer in random places scattered around the house. We have a special guest on the show, Ryan Sherb, who's a professional photographer, and he shares his organizing tips with the students or the participants in the class. And I think it's a great class. I think it will help anybody go from chaos to some sense of order.
Okay, yeah. No, the class sounds great. And this is something, like I said, with our Scan My Photos customers, it's something they struggle with. I hear a lot that people are spending 3 years of their life organizing these photos and getting things together. And it sounds like you have a system that can help them do this without wasting a lot of time and making sure it's efficient.
Unless you have millions of photographs, God, I don't want anybody spending 3 years just sifting through photos. I mean, the clock is ticking. Let's get you doing something that matters more than just trying to get caught up.
Yep, exactly. So there's your photo course and then your new book. What's the title of your new book?
Well, there is no new book quite yet.
Oh, okay.
So the only book that's out on the market for people to be able to buy right now is Unstuff Your Life.
Okay.
But inside Unstuff Your Life, there's an entire chapter dedicated to photographs. And on my website, folks can go and they can download. It's called Photo Do's and Don'ts, and might be on the website proper, or it might be over at Unstuff University in the free library, so anybody can take it. There's no cost for it. It's just at Unstuff University, Unstuff U, there's a premium library that people pay to have access to that comes bundled with the photos class or any of the paid classes at the university. They would get access to the premium library or the monthly subscription to Unstuff U, which gives them access to all the classes. Or they can just, anybody can enroll, if you will. You know, you can be a free member of Unstuff University, and there's a library full of free tools and resources that anybody can go and download. You know, there's no charge. Nobody's monitoring your use. You can do whatever you want.
Yep. Okay, so. Great. Is there anything else that you wanted to add? I think you've covered all of my questions.
I mean, the only thing that I would say is that it's never fun, in the broadest sense of the term, cleaning up historic accumulation or clutter. There's just nothing about it that is inherently fun about getting back to zero. You know, digging yourself out of debt, if you will. This is just clutter debt. So it isn't fun. It can be enjoyable. And if you involve other family members, it can actually be an intimate family time experience. So while there's a part of it that feels burdensome or uncomfortable because you're having to spend time that you wanted to be spending doing something else, if you can engage people who are in the images, people who want to see the images, suddenly, as they say, many hands make light work, you're no longer by yourself trying to slog your way through a tremendous project. Now it's a chance to actually spend quality time with people you probably don't get to spend enough quality time with, and at the same time you're accomplishing something that's important to you. So that feels like a win-win to me.
This episode of Tales from the Pictures We Saved was produced and published by Scan My Photos, with music by bensound.com. We'd like to give a very special thanks to Andrew Mellon for taking the time to talk with us today and share his wisdom and insight. You can find Andrew's book, Unstuff Your Life, on amazon.com and on andrewmellon.com. On his website, you'll also be able to sign up for the Photos, Arts, and Crafts course to help you better manage the sentimental items in your life. I'm Janine Lucas. Thanks for joining us for this special bonus episode. We'll see you next time.